This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for joining us. I'm Mitch Tyson.
And I'm Bonnie North. Oral arguments were heard this week in a court case challenging some of what's left of the Affordable Care Act. Wisconsin is among the plaintiffs in the case. Meanwhile, health care may prove to be an interesting balancing act for candidates in the upcoming midterm elections.
Barbara Zabawa is a clinical assistant professor in the College of Health Sciences at UW-Milwaukee and founder of the Center for Health and Wellness Law. She's also a regular Lake Effect contributor, and she joins us now to talk about what's going on this election season. Welcome back to the show.
It's been a while. Thanks, Mitch. Good to see you, too.
There's a lot that's taken place since we last spoke. There has been a whole lot that's taken place already in the area of healthcare and health and wellness law in the year and a half that the Trump administration has been in office. So as people look at the midterm elections that are coming up in just a couple of months, not even a couple of months at this point, how pivotal do you think they might be in terms of the direction of health policy from here?
Very, very pivotal. A lot of things are happening right now because of the people who are currently in power in both at the state and federal level. And so if you like what's happening now, then you're going to want to, you know, vote to keep people who are currently in place there. And if you don't like what's happening now, then you want to maybe look at other candidates who might be able to change the course or the direction that things are going right now with health and wellness law.
And it's interesting because I've read in just recent days there are plenty of states, Wisconsin possibly among them, where there are people who, you know, parts of the electorate that are generally happy with the kinds of things that the current administration has said or done. But at the same time, the one thing that they're really concerned about is maintaining their health coverage with pre-existing conditions, mm-hmm. say.
Right. I mean, that still is a very popular, when you poll the entire United States, even among Republicans, there's a majority support for keeping protections against pre-existing conditions. People want to be able to get health insurance coverage even if they have a pre-existing condition like cancer or some diabetes or some condition that might either make getting health insurance impossible or impossible to afford. If you are one of those people in the majority who want those protections against pre-existing condition exclusions, which was the case before we had the Affordable Care Act, then, you know, you're going to want to look closely at what's happening right now with, for example, a lawsuit that's being brought by 20 different states.
Right. And Wisconsin among them.
Yes.
Walk us through what that lawsuit is challenging and what's at stake here.
So it's the lawsuit. The name of the case is Texas versus United States. Texas was the first state to have this idea of suing the United States.
Right, they're challenging the constitutionality of this, right?
The constitutionality of the remaining portions of the Affordable Care Act. So if everyone remembers last December when the tax reform bill was signed into law, one of the big victories that, you know, the Trump administration and Republicans generally put into that bill and is now law is the elimination of the individual mandate, the tax that people would have to pay if they didn't buy health insurance. The bill, the law, just got rid of the tax, the money that you would have to pay. The language, though, that says that you still should be buying health insurance is still part of the law. And the 20 states, Wisconsin included in those 20, has said that, you know, if the money part is gone, then the requirement that people buy health insurance along with the other requirements that are tied to that mandate should also be gone. It's unconstitutional to have provisions that are tied to a tax that when the tax is no longer there in the law. So 20 states, Texas, the leading state, Wisconsin, our attorney general decided to join this lawsuit as well as 18 other Republican-led states have sued the U.S. government for having a law that they think is unconstitutional. The Affordable Care Act is unconstitutional now that this tax has been eliminated by Congress in last year's tax bill.
And so depending on the outcome of that case, it's not just that language that goes. It's basically the rest of the law as a whole.
Right. So that's the debate, is how, if the court in Texas, so the case is being heard in a Texas court, if the judge in that case decides to cut just portions of the Affordable Care Act, for example, the pre-existing condition protections, the guarantee issue, community rating, it could be narrowly construed, so only those portions might go away and the rest of it would remain. But my understanding is from oral arguments, which just happened last week, is that the states that are suing were arguing for full elimination of the entire Title I, which also, you know, had other insurance reforms that would go away.
Things like the pre-existing condition coverage.
Well, I think that's one of the main things they want to go away. But other things like what you have to cover as an insurance company, you know, the different rating structures, the different benefits that have to be offered, lifetime limits, lifetime caps, those things they also want to go away. The exchanges, all that would go away if the plaintiffs, who are the states, would win their lawsuit.
And of course, the climate for this is that the states are suing a government whose administration is not especially friendly to the Affordable Care Act in the first place.
Right. So the Department of Justice, Federal Department of Justice, has said that they aren't going to enforce or defend the Affordable Care Act, I should say, which they would normally do because it's the United States and they represent the United States. But they've decided, the Department of Justice under the Trump administration has said, no, we agree with these 20 states who have brought this lawsuit. We agree that the Affordable Care Act should be found unconstitutional. So we're going to actually be in support of the states that are bringing this lawsuit. So who's defending the lawsuit? Who's defending the Affordable Care Act? Are 16 Democratic-led states. They've intervened in defense of the Affordable Care Act, and they're the ones who are arguing, and who argued last week, for keeping the Affordable Care Act and declaring it constitutional, even without the tax that's been eliminated.
Even as this is going on, there are rules that are being put into place regarding short-term health plans and association health plans.
Yes.
What is going on there?
So this past summer, the Departments of Health and Human Services, among others, have issued rules to allow for short-term health plans. These plans don't have to comply with any of the Affordable Care Act requirements. They don't have to offer comprehensive benefits. They can underwrite and charge higher prices if you are not healthy. And they were meant, under the Obama administration, to only serve you for like 3 months. But under these new rules, now you can have these plans for up to 3 years. States still regulate them. But depending on, you know, your state's politics and policy preferences, your state may allow them for 3 years. If you have people who in the administration who are like the idea of short-term health plans, or you might have people who would want to restrict their use. Because the concern, of course, for those who are looking at the entire individual health insurance market is if you siphon off people into short-term plans, the people who are going to be in those plans are going to be healthy. And the remaining people who will want the comprehensive coverage that's offered through the federal exchanges will be less healthy, and therefore their premiums will go up. So
this is the ultimate issue when it comes to providing health care for everybody, how to do it in a way that, you know, doesn't unfairly burden put the burden on either side of the
right,
equation.
Exactly. I mean, when there's discussion about premiums going up, it's unaffordable since the Affordable Care Act, really what you're talking about are those people who are healthy, and they tend to be younger, and their premiums, yes, did go up on average. But those people who were less healthy, who have chronic conditions and need to see the doctor quite often, their premiums went down because of this community rating concept. And the lawsuit that we talked about in Texas if the plaintiff states win, you know, that community rating would also go away. So then you'd have lower premiums for the healthy and higher premiums for the less healthy again. So that's what's at stake.
There's also something that had not necessarily been on my radar, and that is an opinion that the Department of Labor has issued when it comes to whether employers need to pay their employees for workplace wellness activities?
Yes. Yes. I found that interesting. So, you know, I talk a lot about workplace wellness programs. That was what my book was about.
Right.
And the Department of Labor just recently in the last couple of weeks issued an opinion letter to an employer who asked, okay, in our employer wellness program, we ask employees to attend health fairs and do wellness activities outside of work. And if they don't do it, then they have to pay more for their health insurance or they get dock in pay. And our question to you, Department of Labor, is do we have to pay our employees for their time
spent? Are they on the clock?
Yes. Doing those activities, because there's been a question. And the Department of Labor said, no, you don't have to pay your employees for that time, even though you're incentivizing them with premium reductions or paycheck reductions to do with them. It's not on your employer time that they're doing it. It's for their own benefit, the employee's benefit, not your benefit, the employer. So because it's not benefiting you, the employer, it's only benefiting the employee, they shouldn't have to get paid to do those activities.
Does an opinion from the Department of Labor have the same impact as a law, or is this something that could also end up in the court system?
It could definitely end up in the court system. It doesn't have the same legal weight as a statute or a rule that, you know, where there's notice and comment.
So this is guidance that they're
providing. It's guidance. It's reflecting the policy choices of the current administration. So again, we go back to the midterm elections. If you like these kinds of things, then you want to keep the people who are making these decisions currently in power. If you don't like these kinds of policy decisions or actions, then you're going to want to vote for new people.
Barbara Zabawa is a clinical assistant professor in the College of Health Sciences at UW-Milwaukee. She's the founder of the Center for Health and Wellness Law, which is based in the Madison area, and she's our regular health policy contributor. You can find our previous conversations at wuwm.com.